Welcome to Under the Water Tower, a production of Fellowship Baptist Church, located in Marble Falls, deep in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. Join Fellowship's staff and leadership while they explore, study, and discuss Bible passages. Here are your hosts, pastors Joni Wallach, Misty Grimm, Daryl Fishbeck, and lead pastor Dr. Jamie Greening.
This may be the most dangerous podcast we've ever recorded. The motif here is we're just going to talk about stuff in the news or current events. If I were really bold, I would just bring in a New York Times or an Austin American Statesman or Washington Post and just read through the headlines and just talk about it. But well, I'm not that silly. Now, there is one ground rule, and this is really the only ground rule we have.
Rules are made to be broken.
No, not this one. This is not a politics discussion. We will not talk about politics. We were talking about politics before the show started because I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but this is Wednesday after Super Tuesday. And Daryl has lots of opinions about what all went down yesterday.
Lots of experiences.
But we're not going to talk about that because we believe in your individual ability to choose, to study, and come to your own conclusions as to people and politics. What we just want to do is about the news. Now, the problem is, in the modern age, everything has become political. And so there's like a filter through which you see every single issue. I want us to avoid that today and just talk about the issue, maybe bring in some theology, Bible, and so maybe some fresh perspectives on it. And as you're listening to this today, maybe you're going to nod your head a little bit or shake your head no. That's okay. We don't expect complete agreement. We do, though, ask that you think critically about issues and maybe do some deep dive research on stuff rather than come to an automatic conclusion. One of the biggest banes of my existence now is people's lack of ability to stay focused for more than 15 seconds. And, Fishbeck.
I was proving that I'm listening. I'm looking.
Literally, he's reading a book right
now.
Put
your phone up. Quit texting.
The idea of being able to get beyond just the headline, TLDR, right?
Clickbait.
Too long, didn't read. So you just read the headline and it says something ridiculous. But the actual article underneath it is not actually what the headline. The headline says something different. That happens to me at least two or three times a day. Mm-hmm. Because the people who write the headlines are not the same people who write the article.
Yeah.
The ones who write the headlines want clickbait. They want you to engage. So they're going to make it outstandingly, ridiculously mm-hmm. silly or inflammatory by nature, provocateur. To get you to read it,
because
that's
your interest.
Their goal. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
But most people don't read the whole article. All they do is read the headline.
Mm-hmm. I'm most people.
And they
that's me.
I'm most people. What's that old 70s songs? I am everyday people.
Yeah. Who was that?
Sly and the Family Stone. Is that
sounds right?
I think that's right.
Like Joni, I would know.
Joni.
Yeah.
You would know it, I think.
I think I know the song.
They were great.
It is interesting, like on Facebook, when you're looking at like the local news, how often people will start commenting and go to bat over the headline. And it's like, you didn't even read the article.
Well,
and it's like, it clearly says in the article, you know, yada, yada, yada.
I'm just going to go ahead and jump in. One of the things I was just looking at.
Hey, Daryl, I think you should go ahead and jump in.
This book to fit the lead in here.
You're a miracle.
We
Daryl.
Feel. You want to read the rest of that? We feel like we're in control of our lives and that we make decisions based on evaluating circumstances with our rational minds. But research is showing us that we're far more rational. We're far from the rational actors we believe ourselves to be with a host of factors that do that. And so when you talk about the clickbait and all this stuff, in the moment of all that's going down is we're sitting here thinking, I'm the rational, logical one, and we haven't even read the article to find out what the rest of it is.
Mm-hmm. It's because we're angry. People are angry. They're mad. They don't care.
And
they just want to fight.
The world is capitalizing on that.
We haven't actually even gotten to the news yet.
Well,
but
you can
tell
how fired up we are.
I know, right? I told you, this is the most dangerous podcast. Isaiah is much safer than this. I think it is bias, confirmation bias. I already believe a thing.
Yeah.
And so then I see the headline that confirms the thing that I already believe. I don't need to read the article because I already knew that. Mm-hmm. And it provides one more pellet of mm-hmm. confirmation in here mm-hmm. in our brain. And we are all guilty of confirmation. I mean, I mm-hmm. think everybody has that predisposition to I have a bias.
Right.
And when anything comes about, I will always interpret it through my own biases mm-hmm. as a confirming what I already
believe.
Well,
and how many times do we do that when we just read scripture, right? We know the story about Noah's Ark, so I'll just kind of skim through it because I've already heard it, I already know it, and there's nothing really new there for me to learn or hear or know. So I think we do that with a lot of things in our lives.
Or we read the story of Noah's Ark and we assume that God punished all those people out there because they were not as righteous as I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We always assume I would be Noah.
Right. We would be on the ark.
And that's... I think I've not mentioned it the whole season, so I'm going to mention it now. One of my eye-opening moments was in reading The Prodigal Son, like you're talking about, Misty. And the many times I've read it, and I've tried so hard.
6 minutes in, Prodigal Son.
Yeah, but episode 8, I think, or 7, whatever
this
is.
Yeah, he hasn't brought it up in a bit, so it was time.
But how often I wrestle to try and, well, I got to relate to the prodigal because that's what the story's
right.
about. Aren't the and then I had this moment. I literally gasp out loud while reading The Prodigal Son. I'm the older brother.
Yeah.
I'm the older brother.
Because the
I'm the one who thinks I'm in the right, and I've been blind to it. And I think that's where some of my anger comes about the current events and things like that is because I was being blind and led along like a lamb to slaughter.
And now you see.
And when I realize it, and so now when I see people manipulating other people like that, it just, the injustice of it gets all over me.
Mm-hmm. So now though, you have the opposite.
Yeah, I just swung the other way. I'm angry at the other side
you
now.
You have confirmation
you
bias
anything, Daryl.
In your own perspective of things in which you assume any person who looks a certain way or sounds a certain way must be one of those people.
Exactly.
Who's not as enlightened as I am. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the critiques.
Yeah.
When you look at news and studying headlines and you study newspapers and the way news gets disseminated in our country, one of the critiques for the last 20 years has been it's those intellectual elites in New York and Washington who are disseminating down and biasing the news in a certain slant, and you can't trust it. When Fox News came on the air, that was their whole motif. We are fair and balanced.
And
we're
you're either
slanted.
With me or against me, right? Yeah. You can't agree to disagree. It's like if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong.
And
that's,
so many,
that's not right.
No. And so many people will only read the news that they yes. know is going to confirm what they already mm-hmm. believe. So they're just adding to their tank rather
Which,
than.
What's the solution to that? What's the solution?
Diversify your resources.
Do your own research. Figure it out.
If there's one thing that I could tell people to be a better citizen, to do better civics, is to get news from multiple sources,
right.
not just when you get locked into either MSNBC or Fox News or CNN or Newsmax, you're in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all you see.
Because
you put
getting
on those
that
blinders
editor.
And that's all you see.
And you're getting someone else's editorial decision of how they're going to couch it, how it's going to be slanted. And it's all slanted.
Mm-hmm.
And once we come to that perspective, that idea, it's all biased. Mm-hmm.
It's not information. It's an editorial, like you said, on information.
Well, and the first editorial process is, what are we going to put in here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always fascinated by what one news station what will lead with and what another one will lead with. Same things are happening in the day, but what you choose to lead with is the big story,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And now my pet peeve. Everything is not breaking news.
Oh.
Isn't that the worst? Breaking news.
Yes. Jim about that.
Joni stubbed her toenail.
The sun came up this morning.
Breaking news.
Oh, it happens every day.
It's a cat
and
in a
you
tree.
Know what? It'll do it again tomorrow. That's the that breaking news. I mean, the first time I noticed it was almost 15 years ago. That breaking news, and it sucked me in. Something's happening. Breaking
news.
Well,
remember the news? When we were younger growing up, the news was on TV, you know, at 5 o'clock, at 6 in the morning, and then at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
And the breaking news was really the top lines of the headlines that had happened.
We interrupt this really episode of Days of Our Lives to tell you about a Helsinki meeting or whatever's going on, or bombs are dropping in Libya.
Yeah, it was important stuff. So it wasn't just all this craziness.
Breaking news from Dallas, the president has been shot. I mean, that sort of thing.
That's when Reagan
was shot. That's one of the first things I remember, right? Breaking
or
news.
Or the
thing.
Space shuttle.
Space shuttle blew up.
You know what?
But now it's like breaking news. Man has excellent bowel movement.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
Walmart has their Dr. Peppers on sale.
That is breaking news, if you're a pastor. I got all fired up yesterday because breaking news was a man in North Carolina gets on TV and he's like, I don't think a woman should be president because women can't make decisions unless they have a man to help them. And
it
did fire me up, but it was the outlet that I was watching. That is not news, friends. I mean, I'm sure there's people all over the place that think that.
So this is not a political statement because there are people on the left and the right who feel that way.
Right.
But I'll go, why would they put that out there? That's someone's crazy uncle at the corner of the bar.
Exactly. That's probably drunk.
Guy. He's a beloved in his family. Oh, that's just Uncle So-and-so or that's just Grandpa.
Right.
We all understand that. But someone says, we want to use this to inflame.
It did exactly what they wanted it to do.
Screwtape talked about that on Sunday night.
Yeah.
To inflame them.
Right.
And I would say there's two reasons to do that, because that gets attention. Attention gets viewers, and viewers does two things.
Exactly.
It increases your influence, and it increases your advertising dollars. And
money,
you come back to the money trail.
It's all about money.
It's all about money.
And
And
if you don't think that the news media is both left and right, are generating their candidates preferred on both the left and right for revenue, you're crazy. They know the people who inflame the base.
If you don't watch, they lose advertising dollars. And so they have to put things on there that will keep you. And that was one of the things that I remember years ago when I was consumed with some of the media that was out there. In hindsight, it's amazing how little content so many of these radio shows or whatever have. They have a soundbite, they have a theme, and they'll say it three or four times, and they'll talk around it, but then they're always talking about what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. When we get back from the break, or on tomorrow's episode, and it was
stay
like
tuned.
They were always just kind of baiting you, and then when you look back, it's like, they never really said anything.
It's just a
they
loop.
They just talked
it's
about
just
what,
just like
what
podcast
could
over
or might or whatever, and it was so...
Yeah, there's no real content, which I think is why
podcasts
have become much more popular, because most podcasts actually get to the point.
Right.
Especially this one.
Yeah.
We never just dance
We
around.
Never just talk.
So let's talk about that. Do you think that is newsworthy that a guy said, I will not vote for a woman? I'm sure he felt that way when it was a Republican or a Democrat.
Right.
It's irrelevant to their politics. Is that newsworthy or is that just... a one-off.
No, I think it was just clickbait.
But did you travel to North Carolina to take care of that guy?
I almost had
She wanted to.
Did you have a good flight?
She
was a good flight.
To.
I'm a little tired this morning. We had a good conversation. Air quotes.
Well, we there was another one, and these kind of, with social media, certain stories that happened to go off and go viral, there was another one about a pastor, and I can't remember. Maybe in the same state. I don't know. And I'm going to summarize because I haven't watched it in a few days, but he basically from his pulpit was preaching, and this is, I guess, one of the dangers of recording and live streaming your services is the whole world can get a hold of it. And he was talking about women and modesty, and he was basically saying that if his wife, he used his wife as, and this is, it's actual video. I think they put on their church sign. He came back and apologized because they got so much backlash.
Did the cameraman scroll over to the wife like at the Super
no,
Bowl? Taylor Swift in the box?
I mean, the pastor was in his 70s, and he's just saying, he was saying that if his wife had gotten raped, but based on how she dressed, if she had been what he considered provocative, he said... he said, if I were on the jury, I would set that man free.
Oh.
That's what he said.
He should have lost his job.
Where does he live? I can go find him.
I'll have to find it for
North
you.
Carolina.
It went viral.
Two for one.
They're probably related.
I don't know if that's news either, but that's ridiculous.
But it's the stuff that goes viral.
Yeah. It goes viral.
It does.
But then it feeds confirmation bias. If you believe that all Christians think that way and you see a pastor say that,
then
boom.
There's a problem with you.
And there's the divisiveness?
Divisiveness?
Divisiveness.
Yeah.
Both work. But do you so the people believe that we are the same, all four of us in this room believe the same thing, which is not true. Mm-hmm. There's no uniformity there. Mm-hmm. So does anyone have a favorite news item?
Oh, I do. I do for sure.
You said you didn't have much when you started.
Well, I do have a favorite,
at least one. What is the favorite?
Actually, it's very sad. Joann's Fabrics and Crafts, they're going to file bankruptcy.
Breaking
news.
Actually, we can play with that. That's economics.
Yeah, so that's pretty sad.
So Joann Fabrics, are they going to close the store, or are they filing protections under Chapter 13?
So they haven't really said yet. I think it's more that based on what the projections are, like, they're likely to file bankruptcy. Nope. So it's not in the works yet.
In the article you read, did they give a reason why?
Decline in sales, because their sales had gone through the roof during COVID, because everybody was home and they were doing crafts and they were making masks and they were doing all the things. And then so that went through the roof during COVID, and now things have slowed down. Everybody's, you know, back to work.
So would you put that? We can take that. This is good economic stuff, Misty. You're not paying any attention.
I'm blowing my nose.
So the
snot running down my face.
Trying to be subtle, and you're calling it out.
That's why we don't have a YouTube channel.
So this is why we.
It might be more entertaining.
No, people will be snoozing. I think you can put that in the same category then perhaps what's going on with the tech industry, especially with social media companies. They're all laying off people.
Yeah.
Facebook, Elon Musk just gutted X, formerly known as Twitter. Instagram's got problems. Google's laying off. I mean, all of them are laying off.
They can do surge pricing like Wendy's.
because during COVID, everyone was on these things, Zoom. They were all doing these things. So all these companies got all the employees they could. They all ramped up. So Joann Fabrics overextended themselves, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that store, it's been around a very long time, hadn't it? I can remember Joann Fabrics when I was little. My grandma.
I think there's one in Austin that's been in the same spot that I remember when I was in high school.
So yeah.
I point that out because
I know where they all are in Austin.
You want to make sure. I bet you do. You want to make sure that you don't draw an over-extrapolation on, well, this is a reduce and decline in people sewing. No one's handing this technology on. No one cares about these things. That's the kind of thing that people often, if you have confirmation bias, that these kids today don't know nothing.
Right.
But it's actually not that at all. They overextended themselves for a period of time.
And I want to run with that for just a second, because it feels, and here's my opinion and emotions kicking in, it feels like the corporate greed is so out of control that, let's take Joann Fabrics for a minute. Let's say they did overextend themselves. Rather than trying to fix and correct, we're going to protect the profit, so we're going to lay people off. We're not going to cut into the profit and try and find a way to right the ship. We're going to cut into that, and then we're going to maybe put the blame back onto the customer somehow. And my point for that would be, let's have cereal for dinner. Kellogg's coming out recently.
We're back to the cereal.
So that really bothered you a lot. Terrible. So I want
to. No, I'm just saying, how can the guy, the people are struggling to make ends meet, and so his solution is make me richer.
Right.
So let me push back, though.
And people lose their jobs.
If I understand correctly, bankruptcy under Chapter 13 would allow them to maintain all their employees. They would not have to downsize any of those things. They get to reorganize and restructure their debt in such a way.
And that would be fine.
That's different than, say, what Meta did, which just laid off a bunch of people.
Ooh, and that ties into one of mine, is the AI, the artificial
AI was on mine, too.
Intelligence.
Well, before you go there, just back to the Meta, I know someone personally whose spouse was let go from Meta. And it's basically, she worked in a area that was international, but it was a way that Facebook was developing small businesses and communities, and it actually was helping lower economic countries and things find a way to improve small business. And it was something that was worthy, but it's too much money. We need to cut the budget. Mm-hmm. And so it went. And it feels like we got to focus on what brings in the most money.
So I would take that and leverage it with, I'm a capitalist, right? So I'm very much a capitalist. I want everyone to understand I'm not a communist or a socialist. However, there is something inherently broken in the system where, for example, Jeff Bezos, to me, is the best example of this. Incredibly wealthy, probably just uber super duper wealthy. he would blow his nose with cash, right? That's how wealthy he is. Yet Amazon is probably the most famous stingy company about, if you take one more minute on your bathroom break than you're allowed, according to the analytics they have and their algorithms for your productivity, you get docked. They are brutal. No one who works in an Amazon warehouse loves their job because it's just awful. And they treat their employees terrible. That's why they're trying to unionize. And so they so far not been successful because Amazon moved all their most of their warehousing to states that are non-union friendly.
Oh,
like
that's
Texas.
Why
okay.
Texas got
okay.
so okay.
Texas and
got
let so me.
And that's why Elon Musk is here as well, by the way.
Let me vent a little more then. Their big thing was Amazon Prime. Next day delivery, you get your Amazon Prime TV app or whatever, all that's combined. COVID hits, throws them off. I'll give them some grace through COVID about getting shipping and stuff. They've come back to where they're most of their stuff is next day, but that was one of their whole big deals was next day shipping and stuff like that. Now you might get it, you might not. Mm-hmm. And then the other day I go on to Amazon Prime, open my app, and there's the option for ads or no ads, and you can pay $2.99 on top of your Amazon Prime to get the no ad experience.
That doesn't bother me at all. As a capitalist, they're just trying to maximize
I
profits.
I know, but it's
but it was a bait
the way
and
everything gets pushed off on the consumer.
But I'm okay with that if they're taking care of their workers. To me, it's not their money.
I'm combining the two issues.
Make all the money you want. There needs to be safeguards for
it's
the
all
workers.
About the money when you boil it all down.
So let's move to AI because Green. That's a huge money-making thing. For me on the AI, it's the economics of it. Earlier this year, Microsoft became the most valuable company in the world again. They used to be the most valuable company in the world back in, I believe, the 90s. They supplanted Exxon, which was for the longest time because of oil production. Mm-hmm. And then Microsoft took over. And then Microsoft slumped down because of the, you know, Windows just isn't the drive that it used to be. And Apple took their place. And then shockingly, earlier this year, Microsoft took that top spot again. For one reason only.
They released the beast.
The AI. Mm-hmm. They are making so much cash. And they've been working on this for a while. This is back.
Well, I have a list of the largest AI companies as of February 2024. So this is like super current.
That's like last week.
Oh, my papers are falling off here.
If you used AI, you wouldn't need paper.
I know.
She doesn't trust it.
Microsoft, of course, the Meta platforms, Tesla, IBM, Mobileye, there's a couple others here, Alphabet, and some
others. Google. Alphabet's Google.
Oh, it's Google. Okay. Yeah. And a couple of other ones here. But I thought that was interesting. Like, as of to date, those are the. So that was.
And not just those companies are the ones who are producing it.
But Microsoft was listed first.
Everybody's using it.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Well, I was just going to say, I've been intimidated in doing some photography stuff. I was always intimidated by Photoshop because it was so powerful. But it has become so much more intuitive now where I can import a picture and rather than having to like use some of the tools that were on there to like select an object, you can click a button and it'll pick out the sky. It'll pick out the primary object. It'll pick out the area around it, and you can edit the lighting and the color in each one in just a few clicks. Incredibly user-friendly.
But it will also produce a person with three arms or six fingers or two heads.
It can, yeah, but it can
those
also.
Those are my favorite.
You can also take a photo and say, and you can type, there's a box now in Photoshop at the bottom that says replace background, and you can put, I want fairies and rainbows and unicorns, and it'll give you five options of those, and it'll totally change the background to whatever you want. And it's
Canva does that too, and it's crazy because you never know. And that's the same with when you look at news sources too. Nothing is ever authentic.
Well, there are entire news articles, bring it back full circle, that are written by AI now.
There are advertisements on. How to use, let's say, Amazon as a side hustle or something like that. And then they will show you, here's how to use AI to create all your content. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do all the marketing, all everything, just let AI do it for you.
For writers, it's a real conundrum because one of the ways AI learned is by they dumped all the books into it. Mm-hmm. And some writers are actually suing these companies for copyright infringement, which I hope they get a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the more intense is that going forward, if you read something, did a human being write this? Or did
there's no emotion. Yeah. There's no emotion behind that. And you can tell.
Sometimes you can, but actually,
AI can learn
know.
How to use the, if you're talking about
I know,
language.
Just using the words, but
it
I
mimics.
Feel like there's a difference.
Right now, we still have you can still, I think, pick it. I mean, I can tell when it's a chatbot. I can tell when it's not a person.
Yeah. And like but even video deep fakes and stuff like that, there's still a little bit of them.
But if you're not savvy enough, you won't pick up on it. Yeah. Now, so here's the thing. Let's take a pause on this AI. What scripturally or churchily or theologically are the implications for this? Are there any? Should we just bravely move on forward and this is just the advance of technology? Or should we say, what does this say about our faith? Or does the scriptures have any bearing whatsoever on AI? Joni, you got your head tilted sideways.
That's just the way I look. I've heard some pastors are like, hey, write my sermon for me. This is what I want. And it doesn't allow for the power of the Holy Spirit. And
or
I think
the
that's
heart.
Or the heart.
The whole Bible is about right. the heart. And there's no heart in artificial intelligence.
Well, I think it's like any technology, the church has a tendency to be all or nothing. If you read back historically, I think there was pushback on when electrical lighting was invented, and that churches were like, well, that's of the world. We can't have it. We're going to still use candles. I mean, you could use this argument time and time again, and I think it goes back to motive, how you're using it. If you're using AI to write your sermons so you can go play golf or so you don't have to study or you don't have to pray or something like that, I think that's horrible. But if you as a church have some tech people in your church who are creative and you're using AI for your marketing or your color scheme in your building.
Should churches do marketing?
Well, we have a logo. Isn't that marketing?
I don't know if that's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe I should use the word graphics. Maybe your graphics on your screens or something. You're using AI to do some of that stuff. I think you can argue both sides. Yeah. And maybe more to what Joni's saying here is the Holy Spirit. Involved in what you're doing. I don't like the idea of just, and one of the primary things, I'll go ahead and say it, one of the primary things I wrote down about I'm learning about life in general is we live in such a binary thinking mind. It's got to be either or, right or wrong. And if you even take the model of the Holy Spirit and the law of three or the ternary idea, we talked about this one episode about relationships, is you've got the husband, you've got the wife, two individuals, binary, but if you combine them together and you say the third personality in that relationship is the marriage itself, there's something powerful about moving from binary to ternary thinking where you're involving the thought of three different things. And so much of our world is built on polarity of it's got to be this or that, our way or the other way, as opposed to trying to, how can we move forward? So
are you comfortable, therefore, with AI in terms of if we were to say, AI, lead us in a song this Sunday?
That's what I was fixing to say. Because so music.
I am comfortable with being creative. And I don't know. I don't see any of that happening right now.
Oh,
yet.
I think
maybe
it's right
it is.
The corner.
But what I'm saying is, so I'm not going to judge it just yet until I see how people are using it, because there's so many smart tech savvy people who've done some incredible things in the realm of music and worship and sound and instrumentation and media. And I can see avenues where
different levels.
Yeah. Where there could be some benefits to it, but I can see some corruption's not the right word, but some defiling of things by using it too selfishly or, carelessly
working alongside it.
If you're a small
with it.
Church in the middle of nowhere, right, and you can't get anyone to come out, there's a real crisis of labor in church life right now. We don't see it because most churches that get talked about don't have the issue. But when you get away from cities into small urban, small rural areas.
They don't have choice. They don't have those choices.
They don't have a lot of options for
money.
Pastors,
they don't have
for music pastors, for worship
for
or children's. They just don't have it. So, but if you can spend a little bit of money on AI, we could have a high quality sermon every week.
Mm-hmm.
And a high quality.
I guess in my mind, I just think of a bunch of robots up there playing.
But that's not how AI
I know,
works.
But in my mind, that's the what I'm seeing. Like you're at a Chuck E. Cheese show.
But,
you know,
that's funny. But
that's
are
funny.
We one step away from that? Because like,
I know.
Could
that's
be.
What I feel. That's what I'm seeing.
If you
I don't
think
we're
like
one step away. I think we're a half a step away.
I got two different points, because when you said that, it made me think of something. I went to a little mini one-day conference early 2000s, and the guy, I can't remember the author, he was obviously pushing his book, but he was talking about the fact that there may come a day, or there will come a day, when the pastor is a hologram.
So that's like metaverse thinking, which Generation Alpha, which is our current seventh graders, they're the start of Gen Alpha. And
we've already gone back to the start of the alphabet.
Uh-huh.
I was not aware of this development.
Sorry. I don't know. I guess I should have checked with you first. But
that's
they
a pretty lame name, by the way.
I know.
Gen Alpha sounds like a dog food.
It does. It really does. But it talks about, like, in the research about them, that they'll worship and do all of their socialization in the metaverse. It won't be in real life time. And so that, I'm just wondering if AI is going to lead into that.
It very well
and
could.
And I think there is still a place for personal connection. I think that's the extreme. But
so play with me. I believe the key to ministry is incarnational living.
Right.
I really do. I think that's why I so shudder at even it's a far cry from it. But churches in our area that have the pastor on the screen, and
right.
They'll have a praise team local, but then the sermon is the guy on the screen that is never actually in the same building. Mm-hmm. With the
and look at
people.
Us this morning. We have women's Bible study here, and we're able to go in there and talk to the women and see them and laugh with them and you
and
know
pray with
and
them.
Pray with them. And the one little lady that came in this morning that has been having issues, you know, you saw her and you hugged her, and that's what it's about.
Well, I mean,
you know, that's what it's
all
about.
The statistics that were done years and years ago about orphaned babies, mm-hmm. and ones where they were overwhelming these places that were trying to take care of them, is that how many of them would die that mm-hmm. didn't get personal human yeah. contact in the first few
bonding,
days or weeks
right.
or whatever.
Which is one reason
why
orphanages just no longer really exist, because you have no human touch in an orphanage.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still try and take care of children, but the idea of give them a big bed and 3 square meals a day is they need way more
than that.
And
that's an actual
yeah.
thing.
Definitely.
You know, babies that are born like that, if they don't have that physical touch, they suffer from that
so
for the rest of their lives.
If ministry is incarnational, mm-hmm. what makes the difference for your youth ministry is that you're present with them. What makes the difference for your children or women's ministry is you're present mm-hmm. with them. I'm not exactly sure what you do.
me neither. But 14 years and I still haven't figured it out.
Present with him incarnationally. If you had AI, so the confirmation bias aspect of this would be AI is bad because it takes away the incarnational
right.
aspect of ministry. But however, if you could use that as a tool mm-hmm. to take the performative pressure off of ministry.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Daryl was saying.
Then
just kind of use it
to
your advantage.
Even for sermonizing or
right.
Bible study or
yeah.
Worship leading, take the performative aspect so that you can actually be more incarnationally involved.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps the idea of pastoring people as opposed to just preaching at them,
right.
may actually be the mechanism by which
make it
the
work
church in the future
for
moves.
You
yeah.
instead of being so against
well,
it. Just make it
two thoughts come
let
to
it
mind.
Work for you.
One is if you're trying to use it in a way to cut corners or save dollars, we don't need a pastor. We'll just use a hologram. I think I think that's bad. But like at Heathrow Airport in London. When you come down those escalators or go up to
do you go to London sometimes?
We wouldn't know.
Sometimes. There's a hologram of a lady that's pointing directions and giving instructions. And
does she want your
really
autograph?
Cool.
Does she know you off TikTok?
No. I'm about to punch all of y'all in the name of Jesus.
Can AI do that?
That may be blasphemy. I don't know.
Or in the name of love. And so you don't want to put an actual human down there and say, we're going to pay you minimum wage or whatever to stand here for 8 hours a day and do this. And so it's a cool way to use it. But let's go back with me to 1993.
Whoa. I got married that year.
Something else happened that year. Amy Grant did something that really had never been done before in a weird way. I guess it maybe it had, but it was unique. And she made an album with a whole bunch of friends. Do you remember what that was called?
I remember the album. Mm. I don't know.
Songs.
From the Loft?
From the Loft. Yeah. Songs from the Loft. That next year, I was asked to do music for a bunch of middle schoolers.
I did not have Amy Grant being in this podcast.
I said something that triggered it.
Or 1993.
And so I went to Super Summer, and I was in charge of leading 100 middle schoolers in worship 4 times a day. I was not at a place then, and music was not at a place then where they were like praise song. This was like the cutting edge of praise and worship. There was not a lot of guys with a shirt. There were no guitars back then. It was still keyboards. Al Denson was doing that. I was not proficient enough to play and lead on my own that much. The year that Songs from the Loft came out, she also, you could buy a packet of like 8 cassette tapes
mm-hmm.
that were accompaniment tracks. I survived that week off of those because I could press play and I could sing along to them, and it was one of the coolest weeks ever. That was new. Accompaniment tracks had been around for a song here or a song there, but the idea of a whole album of praise and worship songs like that.
And thus was born Christian karaoke.
And very much so. But it had not, had that not been available to
but
me,
it took a lot
that
of
would have been
work
a,
out
a, it took a lot of work you. And a lot of pressure. I was able to relax. I was able to be with the kids.
Yeah.
And it was a tool mm-hmm. that was able to help me
right.
and create a positive experience for me. Mm-hmm. Had that gone bad, I might not have never
and
tried
for
to
the
lead
kids too,
worship again.
Right. Had you got up there and it was a complete disaster, that's what they would have gone home
exactly.
with their memories.
So, again, I agree. So technology could be useful in that regard, and you get the incarnational presence. I'm optimistic about AI. I do not have iRobot fears or Skynet fears. I joke about it, but I don't really worry about it so much. I think if we can be wise,
yes.
don't give it the nuclear codes, but if we can be wise, it could make the world a lot better. I think you've been the person down there at the bottom of Heathrow pointing. That's exactly the kind of thing technology. Think about all, if we could get robots to cut down trees,
yeah,
all the clean gutters, all the dangerous things, repair.
Not kill the forest, but like actually just prune trees.
Prune
and
trees.
Stuff.
Well, you still need to cut down trees. I mean,
yes.
we need paper. I'm a capitalist. Trees.
I know, but we need trees to grow back too. So
look, I lived in the Northwest long enough. These places where they log trees, as soon as they come down, they plant
yeah, they
new
do.
Ones.
That was East Texas.
Because that's the East Texas is different. East Texas.
They were actually,
you know.
I had one kid in my youth group who his future inheritance was the new crop of pine trees that they had planted
aww.
On their on their land.
Every 15 years or so, we would sell the trees on the land and, you know, get to eat better that yes. year. You are so bad. I was going to talk about repairing pipes down under oil wells, all the things that you can
mm-hmm.
do.
Underwater welding is so dangerous.
It's one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. If you get to robots, our lives could be better. Mm-hmm. Could you ever have a robot teach kindergartners? No, but you maybe can have a robot take them to the bathroom.
Helper, yeah,
helpers.
Like a helper. Yeah.
Well, if you can have a couple of robots, it really increase or AI increase the enjoyment and the safety, I think maybe that's where we work fewer hours a week.
Well, and you can already kind of see that, you know, at Sam's. They have those big old cleaning things mm-hmm. that go through the store. Nobody's driving them, but they're censored, so they're yeah. coming at you.
There's
when
they
sense you, then they turn.
They're a chair.
They have a chair on them. Like, sometimes
yeah.
people are on. One almost tried to kill Misty. That
that's
so
why I'm a little traumatized.
And I would like to point out something that may lead us to the next. Fishback just said we're 38 minutes in. That went fast.
That
the,
did go fast.
Someone's going to point to that and go, that took someone's job.
Right.
And that makes me a little upset because there's an assumption there that there's someone who wants to do that
right.
job.
Right.
I think nobody. If we fight against it, I think we can fight against anything that we don't understand.
But we have such
and
a labor
that's
shortage.
That's a lot of it. Right. Yeah.
Such a labor shortage.
Yeah.
If a robot can give me my Whataburger, I'm happy as long as it still tastes like a Whataburger.
Well, I think
but
it's
going
like
to
happen. I think it's, regardless, it's going to happen, and you can either be angry about it or you can try to learn from
well,
it
and
use
we,
it to
what
your
we
advantage.
Can't see is all the potential. Maybe it frees up people to do new creative things to create
right.
wealth in different ways.
Which
we just can't see that because it doesn't exist.
Right.
We're accustomed to that menial job
right.
should go to someone who's only able to do a menial job.
Right.
Well, especially the older generation. When I'm speaking of like my parents.
How
I can
are you? Yeah, you're what? 50
let's pause.
60. How old are you, Misty?
Let's pause that. And when we come back, we'll take a little break so Kelly can give you some very important information. I want to piggyback your parents' generation and an idea that I want to talk about.
Okay.
You are listening to Under the Water Tower, a ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church located in Marble Falls. We would love for you to join us for worship. Visit our website for worship times at fmf.life. Do you have questions or suggestions on future topics for Under the Water Tower? We would love to hear them. Send us an email to office@fmf.life. If you like what you hear and would like to support this ministry, visit fmf.life/give. That's fmf.life/give.
When we last left you, Misty was waxing eloquently about the issues related to maybe AI as it pertains to her parents. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that triggered a thought in my mind. About a year ago, National Geographic had a great cover story on the population decline in Japan. I don't know if you, this is another news story that we're probably not going to cover today in this, but it's a subsidiary aspect of it. A lot of nations are facing population declines. Japan is one, China is another one. A lot of African countries are, most of Europe is facing the population, and we are too in America. We offset it with immigration, but population decline is a huge problem. And so there's no younger workers to take care of their senior adults
right.
as they're getting older.
Yeah.
And they developed robots. So the article is all about the use of mm-hmm. robots to take senior adults in care facilities to bathe, to mealtime, to play with them, to talk with them, to read to them. If you're a blind person or you can't see in a facility, the robot leads you around.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing technologies that are pioneered by the Japanese from necessity.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about this for a minute. In our culture, I see a huge growing need for care facilities here as the baby boomers get older, live longer,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm Gen X right behind them. I'm hoping that we're going to live longer even still. There's not as many of us, but we're still there. And there's more of us probably than the Ys and Zs and Alphas mm-hmm. behind us. And they don't want to do that. No one really wants to do
I can
the
see that,
parts.
And I agree with you. But just in my mind, just thinking of those that are combative, those that are just...
Well, the robot just puts them down.
It's basically Misty when she's
I'm
95.
Talking. I'm just saying.
That's what that thing at Sam's is trying to do.
Yeah.
Just take her
you
out.
I know, I'm very skeptical
But isn't
right
that
now.
The same? Wouldn't you go back to the same problem as orphanages that just fed them and gave them 3 square meals and then you're done? Because there's no human contact.
Perhaps. I'm not saying no human.
They yeah.
human
they still contract.
Have, they still have humans
contact.
There. But you don't have to have... For humans.
Right, pushing the wheelchairs and helping them, do things.
We just put them on a conveyor belt and they take them to the dining hall.
You
my dad would not have that.
You just turned this to Soylent Green.
No.
No. I don't mean that. There's still humans there and they still have contact, but it's the idea of the things that nobody really wants to do.
Yeah.
Clean the floor in the care facility,
yeah.
right? That kind of thing. Change the light bulbs. Prepare.
That's Daryl's job.
Yeah.
Daryl wouldn't have a job.
All of these things that need
it's
to
one
happen,
of the things I do.
all across the board. I'm really on board with automated driving. I know in Texas this is not very popular. They're still working out it's going to be a serious game changer when people no longer have to drive. I think you won't have personal ownership of cars. That's going to go away. you'll have
truly the Jetsons. Remember when we were younger, watched the Jetsons, and you think this was just so
what year was that? Like 2022 that it was supposed to be Jetsons. And
George Jetson was born in 2022.
But
that was
now
his birthday.
You can see things like this really starting to happen.
I'm still having a Jeep. Like, driving is not, for me, a task. I love to drive.
Yeah, Johnny loves to
drive.
That's
my creative
outlet. I do not.
I understand that, but play with me now. You're on a youth trip, and you don't need to drive the van. The van's going to drive itself. You can turn around and use that time to be present with the students on the trip.
Can you do that, Johnny?
You can
My
teach.
Dancing would be a lot
you,
more better.
You could
more better.
Please don't say more better.
I'm just messing with you.
She's thinking of her dance skills.
This is not. Go ahead.
Well, my point is the menial task. Driving right. is a menial task. I love truck drivers. They keep us fed. But how many people don't really enjoy truck driving? And you had robots to crank that stuff out. In, especially in a world where you're not going to have that many people. I mean, the population of the world is going to start declining in the next 50 years. That's going to happen. And when it does, we're not having enough people to do stuff.
So I went to England one time.
At least once.
And
did you see the hologram? Is her name Holly?
One of the things that I've that come to awesome. Really enjoy, the difference between there and here as a Texan where we do not have this, is public transportation. And it's not the same thing, but it's along the same lines of what you're saying is there are times when Jen will pick me up at the airport or take me into London. It's an hour and a half drive, and we're sitting in the car. She's driving, and sometimes we'll take the train. I always prefer going on the train. Granted, you're going to have issues, delays, and problems, and overcrowding and stuff from time to time. But for the most part, to be able to get on there.
Is that the Elizabeth line?
To get on. Oh, the Elizabeth line is nice, the new one. But to get on there and sit down, have a table, be able to walk around, be able to interact and just ride, I love it more than anything.
So I think that's going to change the way travel happens in the world. America will be the last to adopt it because we're always the last. We were the last to adopt the Wi-Fi. The whole world had Wi-Fi before we did.
Because we fought it.
We do. I remember
we
our
just don't like any of it.
I was using the – we still haven't adopted the full thing that they use overseas where – when you go to a restaurant, they bring the device to you.
Uh-huh.
It's contactless. You never surrender your card at all. You tap it right there. In America, we still do that. You give your card to the person.
Some places. Some you can tap your card.
You can more and more, but I will say this. I agree with you because there are times when I would go out and I'm going to say I'd go on a bike ride or I'd go on a run and I have my phone in my account or my card is
Apple
on my phone. I want to stop on the prom and get a coffee. I just hold my phone to it and pay it, and boom, you're done.
Mm-hmm. And if you're at a restaurant, though, they bring the wand out to you. Never surrender your card to somebody else.
Yep.
Anyway, I digress. I think that's the way in which we move forward in the future is the menial tasks that make life better and easier to spend more time with each other, to be more human. It's a weird thing. If we can do it right, and that's going to require some wisdom, but especially with driving, if we can do it right, then AI takes over our cars, and so I don't have to own a car and keep insurance and upkeep. It comes by my house. I have a subscription service. It picks me up like a taxi.
What you're talking is you got to trust. You're talking to these people. I am these people that have control issues. I like to be places early. I want to be able to get in my car at a certain time and drive to where I'm going.
You're a late adopter then.
And so what you're saying, I understand it, but that's going to entail a lot of trust, and I'm just one person.
It will. So our generation really won't.
We're not trust.
Yeah. But see, you, the earlier comments about electric lights, you have no problems trusting the electricity in the grid. Sometimes
because it was here when I was born. I didn't have to adopt and adjust to that. It
Misty's
going to
have a bad day going home from work. She's going to see one of these, Jamie in his AI-driven car, and she's going to cross
gonna
the line and just go right into it and take him out.
20 miles an hour.
Well, the AI cars will drive slower and safer.
I know, and I don't like that either. So.
But look, they're faster because they'll drive safer.
But will they know, like, right now, the problem with a lot of the self-driven cars is they can't distinguish between, oh, it's a box in the middle of the road or it's a child or it's a... So I think the technology definitely has a ways to go.
I agree.
Yeah.
We're not there
it's
yet.
It's interesting.
But
it's
when
very
it does,
interesting.
And it's going to make... that's news. to me, AI news is good news. Yeah. I am not afraid
I think it's super interesting.
There's some problems, like you have deep fakes.
Everything is
going to
be used for, yeah.
It needs to be regulated.
But that's
a lot of our political campaigns, and there was something, and this happened in one of the previous ones, is that you have, I'm trying to be very vague here.
If you have to, maybe just move on.
No, it's just talking about how social media is used, where they can geographically know where each one of us are social media wise, and AI can target us with advertisements almost down to the block you live on, mm-hmm. to try and get sway you politically, mm-hmm. either way. It's that detailed, and it's that it feels that
intrusive.
It's worse than if I told you I always want to go to Cancun, I'd get ads on my
exactly,
Facebook
yeah.
for Cancun Travel Now, which is one of the reasons why you'll notice I don't have my phone in here. I have intentionally tried to keep my phone away from when I have meetings and conversations, because I think it, you know, that
picks up everything.
I have my phone and my computer and my iPad.
Yeah,
I've got it all.
Joni is loaded down.
You are teched up.
I will say, though, like when washing machines came out and electric lights and those things and stoves that you could plug in, they really felt like that.
The microwave oven. The science oven.
They really felt like that would shorten the work week. And now we're working more. We're working harder. Our work never stops because we have cell phones. And so there's not a time where you turn off work.
It's because we're in the in-betweens. Mm-hmm. We're in the in-betweens. It hasn't.
You don't think it's part of human nature that any advance we have, we're going to abuse it and take it to an extreme?
No.
I think it all boils back down to self-disciplines and how, I mean, no matter what season, phase, era, decade, whatever transition we're in, I think we're not artificial intelligence. We're created by God to be.
Misty ain't having none of it.
You know, to still enforce those spiritual disciplines, and still that still has to be a constant in our lives no matter what.
Yeah, Misty's not. I'm going to head back to Fishbeck, though. Is it part of human nature to push? It's a part of the American nature to push. Yeah, and so you look at history as a historian. It's just, someone listening may say that's bad history, but it's my understanding of history. So after World War II, the American way of life became the dominant way of life. Mm-hmm. You had the East and the West. And we became the empire that policed the world, that fed the world, that told the world how it should live. Hollywood, our printing. I mean, English was already a dominant language. Now it's the dominant language. And it's not because of the British. It's because of us. We are everywhere. Our TV influences the whole culture of the world. And we are driven. That as part of it's the Protestant work ethics, part of it's capitalism, part of it's our sense of shame and guilt. We got to be good enough. And so we are always working. You go back 300 years ago, humans weren't quite that way. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to get fed and be productive, but they really weren't the workaholics that we are now.
Well, and everything is productive. I mean, you got to move forward. I mean, you look back in Scripture, and it's all looking forward. From Old Testament, New Testament, I mean, it's all going forward. You know, Jesus came and he did away with all that to move forward. You know, so I think that's and a lot of us fight it. We don't want to move forward. We want to stay stuck where we're at.
But you're the one who doesn't, you say move forward, but you don't want the car that drives you.
Well, I said I was interested. I didn't say I was against it. I'm just saying.
So where are we at in time?
We are at 53 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
This might have to be a two-parter.
I really wanted to talk about war.
Well, let's go.
Ooh.
And I have fentanyl on my list.
We can go.
I have embryo.
20 more minutes. Easy.
Fentanyl, frozen embryos, and war. We cannot do those in 7 minutes.
No.
Let's try.
Let's jump in.
Just go.
Well, let's start with war. So if I say war, which one comes to your mind first?
The song.
War! What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
See, when I think of song and war, I think of War Pigs.
I don't know that one. I know
yes,
the name.
Yes, you do.
Well, sing it.
Dun, dun.
That's Jaws.
Sound like Beethoven's Fifth or Jaws. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to find it. It's Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath. It's,
okay.
Ozzy.
That's what I needed.
That's It's like Iron Man, but angrier.
Angry okay. Iron Man.
War Pigs.
Can you name that song by just these two notes?
Name that too.
It's got sirens in it. It's the
I probably heard it. It's just not.
Satan laughing spreads his wings.
Oh, okay. It's coming. It's coming. Gotcha. I
got nothing.
You know? No. Anyway, back to war.
This is why we can't finish in an hour.
So you think of songs. I meant which war?
Mm-hmm. Probably the Gulf War. I think
you think of Gulf War?
Yeah, that one does pop into mind because I was in college during that. It was, and I was in college in Belton, which wasn't far from Killeen.
Right. I lived in Belton for a little bit.
So that war, Joni?
Probably World War II. I can't even say it.
And most of those are gone.
Yeah.
I had the idea of veteran in my head. When I think of veteran, I think of the old World War II guy.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But those aren't. But now veterans are the Gulf War. Right. That's the primary. You still have Vietnam veterans around. Mm-hmm. You have almost no one from Korea. Yeah. The Forgotten War. I was actually talking about the wars happening now. Mm-hmm. What's
Ukraine.
News? Ooh. So is it Ukraine, mm-hmm. or do you think of Gaza? Which war is in your mm-hmm. head?
This week, Ukraine.
Ukraine, why?
Because mm-hmm. of the ceasefire that Harris was asking for. Mm.
That's actually in Gaza, I believe.
Is it? Oh, it is in Gaza. Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah. Just kidding.
You have the wrong war.
You're right. So Gaza.
That would be me, Gaza.
You're right.
So forever it was Ukraine, and now it's Gaza has become the energy. They're still shooting at each other in Ukraine. We haven't funded Ukraine. We haven't really funded Israel either. They're both going to run out of bullets if we don't give them some bullets, because mm-hmm. we got all the bullets. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about war? Who is anyone around this square table a pacifist? Mm-hmm.
Define pacifist.
Under no circumstances is war an option. That's a true
I wouldn't be.
Quaker pacifist. They're not going to raise their hand at all to you.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
So are you a very limited just war kind of guy?
Probably, just because I see so much. I mean, you get to a point where someone's going to start a war just because they want to, and so you might have to defend yourself. But you've also got the issue of war is big business, and you've got so much that's happening because what's that movie, Wag the Dog? You've got so much happening because people are creating that binary effect again. They're creating, we gotta create an enemy, we gotta create two sides, and we gotta create a victor and a justification, and we gotta get people to pick sides.
Is that how you view Ukraine?
What do you mean?
So we're talking about news. Does the war in Ukraine have any bearing on your existence right now?
Yes.
How?
The injustice of it.
So so war is legitimate if someone is being oppressed, murdered, killed.
I think the Ukrainians have a right to defend themselves.
Should we be involved?
Yes.
To what extent? You going to send Easton?
I am willing. I don't want to send him. No, but at the same time, I think that we have to look at the. I don't know enough about the depth of the politics of it, but you know. We grew up, you know, being prepared, always thinking we were going to go to war. At least I did. It was like quicksand, getting eaten by a shark, and getting drafted were like these fears I remember growing up.
It was just the church you went to.
That's a good point.
Trauma.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. I can't emphasize to you enough. He's exactly right. So being maybe it's
I don't know what I would decide in that situation.
Maybe it's unique to being male in Texas in the 80s, but I clearly remember me and my buddies, we would find broken glass or break glass and make impromptu weapons, just assuming Russians were going to come over the hill.
Red Dawn. Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
Patrick Swayze.
We read mm-hmm. Soldier of Fortune magazine. These were the things that we did. Yeah. That could be part of the gun culture of Texas. That is now why we have the issues we have.
Well, you're still hearing all of the stories from
Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Rambo. Right. Those are huge things. Commando, all the things. Mm-hmm.
Did you do the thing at school where you went under your desk in case there was a bomb attack?
Yes, we did.
We did.
With the biggest textbook you had.
And tornadoes and fire drills.
It was the same drill for both, which made me think that we had atomic tornadoes.
Yeah.
I can remember that thought in my head.
Take your textbook.
But
put now it would just be like an iPad. Put your iPad.
Put your laptop.
So the idea of war, the one in Ukraine has a unique politic to it because they're not NATO, and so we're not aligned with them. But they made a choice to not be in NATO. Had they been in NATO, they wouldn't be in this position. They trusted Russia. Mm-hmm. For any of you nations out there listening to our podcast, don't trust Russia. Mm. Never. Now, I'm not sure you should trust anyone. Agent Mulder on that one, but don't trust Russia. I feel like we have a moral obligation to give them all the supplies they can use. We watched one of the Oscar movies is the 20 Days in Mariupol, which if you don't watch any other documentary from the Oscar list,
watch that one.
Where do you watch it on?
I believe it was it's a PBS documentary, but you can just it was I think I paid $4 for it. It's worth it.
What? That's what I'm asking.
Prime, I believe. Prime.
What's the name of it?
20 Days in Mariupol.
Okay.
And it'll make you want to just scream. And it's graphic. The people who die in this documentary are really dead.
Oh.
Right. This is not acting. This is
that's like the Ken Burns Vietnam.
Yes. It's absolutely 100% real. It's gut wrenching. Mm. It'll probably win the Oscar. It should. But that's, I think, because of what Russia did to them and the way in which they came in, you would have to be heartless not to come to the aid of the Ukrainians.
Mm-hmm.
That's an obligation of war. Mm-hmm. I'm not against fighting in that situation. Do I want to send our boys over there and our women over there to fight? The answer is no. To me, that's a limit to what we are able to do.
Yeah.
I don't want any situation in which American troops are lined up against Russian troops. Mm-hmm. This is bad.
Yeah. Right.
This is real bad. Yeah. When the war broke out, there were people advocating for the American air cover to provide a no-fly zone over Ukraine. And I thought, this is a bad idea, too, because now you have Russians shooting at American planes. That's not going to end well.
Yeah.
What about Gaza? Is that different? Does that feel different, Joni?
It does feel different because I feel like it's been a constant place of war and that there's things happening on both ends.
Well, so is Russia. I mean, people who always look at Ukraine and say, well, how long can they hold out? Have you studied Russian history?
Right.
These people can suffer for decades. Mm-hmm. They take it. It's a personal. The British know how to line up and stand in line. The Russians know how to suffer.
And I think there again, you know, people, you said heartless a while ago, and I think that's a lot of it. People just choose their sides. A lot of them, it's according to how they've been raised, and there again, they don't do their research on things, and I think we're really quick to just choose a side because we just feel like that's what we're supposed to do, and then you just stick with it, and you're angry and mad, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
The Ukrainian war makes me angry and
mad. Angry, yeah.
The war in Gaza between Israel and the Palestinians, that one makes me sad.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not as mad as I'm sad.
It's heart-wrenching.
Because I look at Israel and I have a natural affinity for them.
Mm-hmm.
I want peace and prosperity of Jerusalem. I want them to do well. Mm-hmm. I want the Israelis to be in a healthy, wonderful community. I want good things for them. And I know that there are terrorists there. And I know that they did a horrible thing. And that was bad. And the Palestinians are not nice people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard not to empathize with them when you see the reaction. The Israelis really remind me of America after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
We overreacted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily overreacted. Yep. And I think that's what they're doing. They're having an emotional, guttural reaction. Mm-hmm. And they're overreacting and punishing a lot of people. And most Israelis don't know it. I didn't know this until a couple of days ago. Listen to unbiased news. Mm-hmm. So the way the Israeli media is built and is functioning now, they weren't seeing all the news articles about the hospitals and the kids starving and the bombing of homes.
Of course not.
They weren't seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's beginning to trickle through, and it's going to have some political ramifications inside. Because most Israelis don't want to see themselves as oppressors.
Right.
They're defending their home.
That's kind of one of the problems I have with war or with any divisiveness is we use the word them, and we dehumanize, and we group people together, and we make them either all good or all bad. Mm-hmm. And you just can't do that.
Mm. Well, the Palestinian leadership for certain is they're evil, and I have no qualms whatsoever.
Well, and what about smaller countries even that if you've got the political, the powers that be in if you have people in power who are controlling the information to their people, in many ways it's cultish, and that a lot of the people are just following their lead because they don't have all of the pieces sometimes.
Well, that happens in every society, which is one of the drawbacks of war. So that's why war is it's a bad solution.
Yeah.
I have no qualms with Israel defending itself, and I have no problems with them dealing with the military violent apparatus of Palestinians. But I do believe that I can say that's one thing and be firmly against the bombing of hospitals.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a bad idea.
It doesn't have to be either or.
And to say that, what my problem with the news articles is, there are some who would say, well, you're anti-Israel. Right. No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
I love Israel. Right. I don't want them to do something their children will be sad that they did, to be ashamed of. I don't want that for them. Yeah. I want them to make good decisions. It's easy for me here, far away.
Yeah.
And that's another aspect of this. If I were only 40 miles away from where they were, you know, doing stuff. I mean, don't forget, Palestinians invented strapping a bomb and walking up to a school bus and blowing your... This is the kind of stuff, and they still do that. Yeah. They never went away.
That's what they do.
And the Palestinians are just... They have an anti-Israel stance. But that does not justify the action. And I really worry about, in evangelicalism, the association of modern political Israel with biblical Israel. Mm-hmm. Those are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And I worry that we get those mixed up.
Well,
in
and the messaging becomes, this is Israel. It's just a blank check. If you're a Christian, you have to support them, which means just endorse whatever they do.
Right. And I'm for them, but that doesn't mean that I agree with all their political decisions. Right. Those are two different.
They're not perfect people.
I don't agree with. I'm for America, but I don't believe.
Agree with all of it.
In fact, I don't agree with most of the political decisions in this country.
I think in the Christian circles, most people are thinking, oh, Israel, Holy Land, that's just. You know,
because
it's a bunch of Jews, and you know, we're
and you got
for
a lot
them.
Of fundamentalist pastors preaching that so you've got to pray for Jerusalem.
But at the same time, the news takes you the other way. So because of that's happening, you're seeing a rise of anti-Semitism in our country, which is to me terrifying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of us would say, never again. That slogan is about World War II and the Holocaust.
Right.
And I think we've forgotten that the Holocaust is.
We don't learn; we repeat it.
You're going to do it again,
yeah.
And this the anti-Semitism is very troubling. And Christians, it's weird. We'll support we'll support Israel because it's in the Bible, but then we'll also attack synagogues.
Yeah.
I have no understanding of how this works.
Yeah,
I don't think that Jewish people are on the same theological spectrum we are. Mm-hmm. I think there's I see a break, but they are our cousins, if you want to use that language. They're in the same family.
Yeah.
And I really believe that we do ourselves a disservice when we talk about them in negative, stereotype, violent ways.
Yeah.
So war. But the thing with war is, you know a lot about Ukraine and Gaza. Are these the only wars?
There's always wars.
I believe there's.
I'm just not educated enough to know what.
Mm-hmm. I believe there's 30 different wars going on right now.
That's crazy.
I think that's the number. The bigger ones are in Sudan. They've been in civil war for 5 years. Eritrea. Eritrea is a bloody mess, and I don't mean that in the British swearing way. I mean it's a bloody mess. They've been their dictator has been killing people for at least 5 good years. More have died in Eritrea, I believe, than in Gaza. This year, I believe I'm could be right. Yemen, they've been. That's the Houthi rebels are a part of that Yemen war. They've been attacking shipping lanes in the Red Sea, going through, and that's a problem. That's why gas prices have gone up. That's a spillover from that war. Most people don't. Why do we care? This is the question. Why do we care so much more about Ukraine and Israel than all these other wars where more people are actually dying?
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to do with our call to action, like that we're most likely to get involved in those.
Is it because they're white?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Media.
I would like,
you know,
to
media
say
media has
no,
a lot to do with that, too. Media brings to the front lines. It's breaking news. They don't consider, you know, the smaller wars breaking news.
If it happens on Africa, you don't hear about
right.
it.
Right.
Unless, yeah. unless you watch deep PBS after midnight,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you watch CNN International. Mm-hmm. You don't know about it if you don't watch those
because
things.
Because unless it sells or unless you're the type of person that wants to seek
does
out
the
that
research.
Information,
and there again, there's
it's
the
not
research.
Gonna be readily
you
available.
You have to be interested in that type of thing and have an open mind about it.
So when you what do you think about the person who has the Palestinian flag on their Facebook page? Mm-hmm. Right? Have you seen any of these mm-hmm. peoples? Yeah. I automatically assume these people are idiots. They're maybe against the war, but they have no idea what the Palestinians believe.
Right.
The power of a symbol. The Palestinians are not nice people. Just because they're being victimized does not mean you support them.
I think they're seeing, a lot of the younger generation is seeing the abuse of what Israel's doing to innocent people. Children are being orphaned. Hospitals are being bombed, and they're having a reaction to that, and to a lot of the American culture saying we support this,
right?
But they don't know the whole story either,
and the whole
they
story goes way
past,
so
past that.
If I understand the history accurately, though, and I will for the first to admit this is not my area of speciality, but I think in 1948, when Israel was constituted as an independent state following World War II. A similar deal was made for the Palestinians to be side by side with the Israelis. And the Palestinians said, no, we're not going to have an independent state next to them. We are going to kill all of them and remove them. That's from the seat of the... the seat of the shore, something like that. Mm. It's the claim of eradication of Jews from Palestine. That's their MO. You got to really hate someone mm-hmm. to say we won't be our own nation as long as they exist.
So let me throw a curveball in there. What do you do with the stories in the Old Testament where God said and told the Israelites to wipe out a whole people group?
That's not a news story. That's a Bible question.
It Quotes. Says our topic says news headlines and spirituality.
Daryl's throwing it in.
I said curveball.
I do believe very much that you have to take those carefully.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you end up with a situation where you're always justified with genocide toward your enemy.
I'm just saying those are the types of things that people use to justify.
Well, then you also need to stone your children when they back talk you.
Yeah.
Right. Again, that's a cultural aspect. I believe that has to do with more about leadership. And purging of those ways from your midst, certainly Joshua and the Canaanite conquest, there was a lot of genocide that happened.
Mm-hmm.
God had his reasons, but what's interesting is that's such a small piece,
mm-hmm.
and it's so specific and limited to that. To draw large extrapolations from that is not only doing violence to the text; it's just wrong.
Yeah.
So you can't be doing that. I do think, though, that there's a place for in the Christian life, in the context of war, to pray for peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not that gung-ho on war. And I'm not that gung-ho on constantly building up your military. You mentioned earlier, if I've got a gun, I'm going to look for something to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature. And I might not shoot a person, but I'm going to shoot that gun. When you build a military, eventually you're going to have to go use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in many ways, that's what the second war in Iraq was about. We had this military. We had been attacked. We had just cause in our view. We had all these great military toys we wanted to play with. So let's go invade Iraq.
We can do it and inflict punishment without us being hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. So if you have a military, everything begins to look like a military solution.
Yeah.
And that's my problem. We never stood down from World War II. We never demobilized.
Our defense
we
budget
up.
Spending is
I find
just
it
unbelievable.
Interesting, the famous going out speech, Eisenhower, who was a general, served two terms, And his last speech was, beware of the military-industrial complex.
Mm.
And they're going to take over if you don't stop them. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what mm-hmm. happened. Eisenhower knew information nobody else knew. How down that deep hole you want to go? Mm-hmm. We had spy planes. He knew the Russians didn't have near as many weapons as we did. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly how many nuclear bombs and missiles and planes they had. But he couldn't tell anybody because it's state secrets. Yet people in Congress, the Russians are overtaking mm-hmm. us. They're mm-hmm. going to overtake mm-hmm. us. So we were the ones mm-hmm. who ramped up.
I could never be president because I would have blurted out. I couldn't. I was just like, I know things.
So no. Fishbeck for president, not a good idea.
You don't want that.
For other reasons anyway.
Nobody wants that.
Where are we at?
We're at hour 15. I say if we make it an hour and a half, it's a big podcast and they can listen to it.
I'm going to kick it to Joni with you had one. What was it? Fentanyl?
Oh, yes. So the fentanyl is killing so many children and so many, well, so just all over the place. But there's, am I on? I am on.
Yeah, you're on. Just get closer to it.
Okay. Sorry.
You have to love the microphone.
I don't love it. But there's scanners sitting unused at the borders, and so that part is like, we need to use those scanners, but I'm sure it's all political.
Explain the whole thing to me, because I think I know what you're saying. Tell me like I'm a child.
Okay, so fentanyl, there's two kinds. There's the kind that is like a pharmaceutical, or there's the kind that's synthetically made illegally. And the kind that's synthetically made illegally is, well, they're both made that way, but that's the kind that's made illegally is lacing. They're using it, drug dealers are using it to lace other drugs because it gives more of a hit, and then it cuts their cost. So it's all about cutting their cost.
Just like Meta.
Just like Meta. Mm. And
Zuckerberg's
it's all about
drug
the
dealers.
Dollars. Oh my gosh. So, but like, it's gone through the roof with how many kids are dying. I think it's, or how many people in general, but it's a lot of kids, but it's over 150 people die each day from illegal fentanyl, which is, I mean, that is.
Now tie that to the border. What were you saying about the border?
So
what's happening? What is not happening that you want to happen?
There are scanners that they can use that are
made. Like a handheld scanner?
No, it's like you drive through it.
Okay.
And they're already made and created, but they're. There's been a block politically that they're not being used.
Who says, do you know, is this Congress? Is this the Border Patrol? Who's?
I think it's a Congress thing.
Okay. So you can't scan vehicles coming in for fentanyl.
Right. Hmm. And I just don't understand why. I don't know. It's an issue.
Do you perceive it's because of lack of trust in the equipment? Could there be a legitimate reason for it? Like false positives?
Maybe. I don't think that's it.
You don't think that's it?
My humble opinion is the border has just become a...
The way you said that didn't sound humble at all.
Well, that's because I was being highly sarcastic.
I think it's just border issues in general.
Border issues have become such a powerful political platform.
But don't they do drug searches anyway? I mean, don't they still do search for drugs?
They do,
yeah.
But if it's just the fentanyl, it won't pick them up necessarily.
Oh, gotcha.
So if it's the raw, fentanyl, it won't pick up
the. The only point I'm going to make search. Is, and this is an either side issue, is people are putting more energy into how can we use the border issue to promote our political party, as opposed to how can we come together and solve a problem. This is back to that binary ternary thing.
Well, I agree with you. The four of us in a room with pecan pie and coffee in about a couple of hours would come up with some compromises, some give and takes for immigration, for border, for all of these issues, for fentanyl, that most people would be able to live with.
But if it was fixed, then they couldn't use it.
But if I want to bludgeon my enemy with it and politically, then I can't do that. Yeah, but I want to go back to fentanyl. How many do you think have to die before we start doing something? Because I don't know if it's just a border issue. I think there's a supply and a demand issue.
There is a supply and a demand issue. And it's just a huge issue with kids and...
Well, I mean, if we're going to open that can of worms, how many people have to die? What about school shootings? I mean, we're
let's deal with one hot
I'm
button.
Sorry,
at
I'm sorry, I'm getting
fired
up
day,
here.
Though
you wanted to be done in an hour and a half. you go down to school shooting.
Turn my mic off.
120 a day though is more than what we're losing in school shootings.
That's a school shooting.
I know.
Today.
I'm still
That's
just making
school.
The point that lives don't seem to be a tipping point in a lot of these issues.
So work with me, Joni.
Money. Money, money, money.
Someone's making money off fentanyl.
That's all, right. That's all it's about. They don't care who
And that's
dies.
Who's controlling the policy.
Absolutely.
Where do the students get it? You know.
They get it from other students.
Anywhere.
Other students.
Yeah. You can get it anywhere.
It
when I was a student, it was pot. Pot was right. The thing. We didn't know we were in East Texas.
But
and
this
that
stuff, that you don't. That's the thing. They don't know how much they're getting.
We all had like a synthetic a friend who grew it in his backyard.
It's got
right?
Drano in it and all kinds of stuff.
So they're making this
fentanyl. They're making it out of all kinds of things. Yeah. You can't even go into HEB and get sinus medicine anymore. You have to go up to the counter. They have to see your driver's license. They have to scan it, and you can't even buy certain.
Well, you do look like a drug dealer.
Medicine, do I? I did take two Advil this morning, but you know it's pitiful that you can't even buy Claritin D more than
once a month.
Every 2 months
one a day.
Or one. Yeah, because of people making this stuff.
So, the problem is the raw ingredients. Are laying around everywhere.
Yeah.
So are you ever going to be able to stop that supply? Because it seems to me we've had this, whether it's pot or crack
well,
cocaine.
Because they're crafty
meth,
and they're
now
smart.
It's
now,
they're always a step ahead.
Now, if it really is coming across the border and we can't find a way to stop it at the border, that's one thing. But certain things, I mean, look at Prohibition. When you try to stop something completely like that, it will find a way to come up somewhere else. And so really the issue is not always the issue. It is an issue. It needs to be dealt with. But we got too many things that are, you talk about the raw materials. Someone's going to find a way to make it and make money off of it.
Sure.
I think we have more of a demand issue. Yes. America is the problem.
Right.
Yes.
We have a demand issue for drugs that is insatiable because we have money.
No, I'm saying why. My proverbial philosophical question is we have to start asking more why.
Well, you drill down with the why. You know, if it's mostly students, teens, or younger people, then they have nothing to live for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't think a lot of them are taking it to die. They don't know.
They're just
taking it.
Well,
but they're
not
taking it on they're not taking it necessarily on purpose. They're taking it because it's in something else, and it creates more of a high. And so these massive, drug operations are trying to cut their costs.
What about, is education a way forward? I mean, if I knew that there was a 20% chance that this could be laced with stuff that will kill me, I'm probably not going to take it.
You're not, but that's, that's not everybody.
There's test strips now out for it, and then there's also like a medication that if you can get to it quick enough, you can give it afterwards.
Nor something.
Mm-hmm. So in some, colleges, they have that just available.
Most EMTs have it on them now too, because so many EMT gets called out for overdoses and that stuff.
I think you can buy it in the store now. You can buy it. Mm-hmm. I think we saw it the other day.
You're looking it up.
Yep.
What is it? Nor.
Oh no! I was.
Oh, you're doing.
He was doing something else.
Mr. Distraction. He's checking his Instagram post.
No.
So drugs are problematic. You mentioned prohibition. Yeah, but alcoholism is a problem, and I don't want to soft sell that. But it's not 120 people dying every day.
Right.
This is that's more than died in Vietnam every day.
It's sad.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or it's comparable.
And I think it's just how quickly the numbers have risen.
When did they start rising?
2017, 2018 is kind of when we started seeing it. And then just in the last couple of years, it could be people trying to numb anxiety, anxiousness, because this is an anxious
literally it's
generation.
Russian roulette is what you're doing. You can take it one time, you get that high, and then it might not do anything to you that time, but then you want it again, and it's because you don't know what's in it. Right. They're not buying it, they're buying it.
Is it that addictive?
Yes.
So it's an addiction issue. It's not just a high issue.
Right.
So once you get down that path, now you have a whole other problem. You're addicted. I think that we just got to work somehow. Our students got to have some meaning and purpose in life that says, I'm going to steer clear of this stuff. Mm-hmm. They got to know it's going to ruin. So I'm not sure.
It's multi-layered.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure we're doing a good. Let's take that and pair it with the school shooting. So most school shootings, the people who do the shooting, not always, but usually young white males who probably have the same fatalism. If my life doesn't matter, then your life doesn't matter. Let's shoot the whole thing off and go out in a blaze of glory. It's the same fatalism that is fed into us that I'm just another animal. Mm. There's nothing in me that's different or unique or special, and my life is meaningless. And so one person gets a gun and shoots a place up. Another person says, let's take all as many drugs as we can because it doesn't really matter whether I live or die. There's a hopelessness there. I think we have a hopelessness.
Dark.
Nobody sees me, so I'm going to be seen.
Dark.
Which is just dark and hopeless. Mm-hmm. If I were to spiritualize that, Joni, as best I could, addictions almost always emerge out of hopelessness.
Well, and if I'm a younger generation and I'm watching the older generations who are most of the politicians play around with these issues and never accomplish anything, I'm going to feel, well, nobody cares about me.
Oh,
nobody.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know that any 17-year-old looks at politicians and has ever looked at politicians.
I think you'd be surprised. This is why they don't like TikTok, is because a younger generation is communicating and they're talking about these topics and they're seeing things. Maybe they're not as – maybe I'm overgeneralizing, but I do think there is an element of that.
Young people look to their parents, to their teachers, to neighbors, to pastors – they look to the ones closer to them.
Who are just as invested in the same political issues.
Maybe we're all too political and not as interested in children.
Quite possible.
But they're not looking at Joe Biden and Donald Trump and saying, well, it's all hopeless. I can blame politicians for a lot of things. I don't think the personalities of Donald Trump and Joe Biden are why children are taking fentanyl.
The effects.
I think the effects, perhaps, but I think it's more that we have, you mentioned 2017, this is when social media emerged. As they get isolated and they're cut off from real human contact, that's when you start getting the abuse of the drugs. Yeah. That's how I would go with that.
I did see something, a statistic that was tying a lot.
Was it a real statistic?
Yes, and I can't remember
what
it
was. You used to tell me like 67% of all statistics
83% of statistics are made up on the point. Mm-hmm. On that one. That social media is...
I saw that on an episode of West Wing one time.
Social media is linked to depression. There are links.
Well, and I don't think the issue
dopamine
that Joni was trying to bring up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not, addiction's always been a problem. I mean, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the specifics in the fentanyl is what she was alluding to. Is, you know, we've always had an addiction problem. Even marijuana is addictive. You've got your meth. You've got your other drugs, whatever, heroin. But this one specifically, it's because of the amounts of it. You know, people are dying because of it being, not the real one? Synthetic.
Right.
Synthetic.
They're overdosing on the synthetic.
That's the real issue.
Because pharmacists prescribed
for
something.
Right. It's made for the right dosage, for the right people, for all things. But then these people are getting it, and then they're just, adding it with all these other things. And none of it has the same amounts in it. And I think that's the issue, is people just don't know what they're getting. Which drugs are bad,
so
all over the place. Don't take them, but I think that's the issue.
Are you arguing for a regulated fentanyl? Because that has been the claim for marijuana, mm-hmm, and for other drugs, that we can make it safe. If we can make it safe and get the stuff out.
I think that would be justifying... It's okay to take it. Let's just make it safe for you to take. No.
Well, they're gonna. That's the.
But that's the other side of it. I see.
Cities. I think
saying.
Philadelphia did this.
Yeah.
With the needle exchange, mm-hmm, to keep disease down.
Right.
So we know you're doing heroin. Just come on in. You can even have a nice, safe, warm place.
See, I think
give us your old needles. We'll take. We'll give
like
you new
we were
needles.
Talking earlier. You've got to get to the bottom of the issues.
But you can't do it all at once.
I know.
I disagree. I think that having some baby steps sometimes,
but you don't
like
accommodate
that.
Them either. You know,
I
come
don't
in
know
here
that you're
and,
accommodating.
And do heroin.
You're taking a step in the right direction, because you can get to the issue of their depression or their anxiety or whatever it is, but you can't just snatch that a way, and I'm mixing a lot of things here. I'm not talking about just fentanyl or just whatever. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the concept right. of prohibition
yeah.
and zero you tolerance
to
and all or nothing.
At. I understand that. We're you have to meet them where they're at, but you have to show them there's a better way.
I'm not really in favor of the needle exchange because I have for me the metaphor plays out. That goes with, like, if my kids are going to drink and get drunk,
yes.
I'd rather them do it at my
house.
So
that's
I'm just
exactly
give it
what
to
I was
going to
say. Yeah.
Well, that's really a bad parenting.
Yeah.
That's really, there's poor parenting, and then there's really poor
you're
parenting.
You're just giving them
you, you let your kid, well, you're going to get drinking, but here's some Jack, go have a good time.
Yeah.
But you're in the house, I'm here, we're safe. This is bad parenting.
Or the daughter.
But those people are not addicted to a hard narcotic in your example. I'm talking about people
that are
you
already
don't
in
just,
it.
If someone's addicted to meth, you don't just tell them to stop.
Right.
But there's a chemical right. and a physiological issue that's going on that needs a lot more attention.
Yeah.
But for me as a society, I'm closer to where Joni's at. Permissiveness is huge. Mm-hmm. And if you begin to have a permissive attitude towards certain things, it says it legitimizes it. Well, that not to be too dramatic, but that does begin a slippery slope
sure.
in which everyone's stoned.
And sure. almost when they said no to these or when they're sitting there, everybody knows it is saying, just bring them right here, like,
yeah.
come on across. I think the part that's frustrating for me is there is part of a solution, even though there's a way around it, but there's at least part of a solution that will
turn
help
the scanners
things.
On.
Turn
yeah.
the scanners
quit
on.
Doing nothing.
Do yeah. something.
I agree.
Yeah.
So just
start
to do
somewhere.
Something.
Yeah.
It may you can't fix the whole. That's one of the we get so the problem is so big. We said we can't do anything to fix it, but you could do some little thing
mm-hmm.
here. The state of Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, has historically had some of the most lenient drug laws
mm-hmm.
in the world. In terms of this, pretty much anything you want to do, you can do
yeah.
in Oregon. Well, last week, they decided we're going to have to scale some of this back because of the
which is
the
worst
deaths,
of the two evils.
The
yeah.
deaths, the stoner culture that's there. No, I mean, it's a legitimate issue clogging up ERs
mm-hmm.
because they haven't had any kind of control. It's yeah. not. So the permissiveness has slid away and it's become a serious health issue.
Well, do you want your surgeon stoned as he's about to do, you know, surgery on you? I mean, I see that part of it, too. If you make it okay for everybody, then that includes everybody.
Well,
I don't think everybody is going to do it.
In Colorado, like, it's legal there's legal marijuana places now. But my friend that's a nurse, like, she's still drug tested. Like, it's not legal for her.
Well, federally, it's not legal.
And so,
yeah.
So there's still regulations and like truck drivers, CDL carriers, like they'll still be regulated.
Airline pilots.
Right. So that's
is very
good.
Important.
So it really didn't solve much of a.
No, but. It,
don't call me Shirley.
I mm-hmm. So on one hand, let's use marijuana for this and then we'll probably wrap this up. On one hand, I'm not wanting permissiveness, but on the other hand, bias check.
Will it make it better?
I see how marijuana laws have been used to basically crack down on black culture.
Yeah.
If you're a black teenager who gets caught with pot, they throw the book at you. You're a white teenager. Generally, you get a talking to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny ha 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 ha. And they have used this, and then you make it a felony with a 3 strikes and you're out. Our prison system is just when you think of prison, you think of like rapists and murderers,
mm-hmm.
people who pull the tags off of mattresses,
pillows.
But almost they're clogged full of marijuana violations. I don't want to legalize marijuana, but I sure would like
common sense
to turn it into a $500 fine,
yeah.
right? Punishment, but
there's got to be a middle kind of like Daryl was saying.
This
there's
intense
be a middle
criminalization
ground.
Of it
yeah.
is problematic. We've made drugs are the scab we always pick at,
mm-hmm.
and that's a problematic thing for us. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know.
I think I thought about this earlier. I want to say
this
last
more.
Point. No, it's just I think some of these issues, if we don't intentionally choose to know about them, it's usually not until one of these issues impacts us personally.
Right.
That we get involved, no matter what the topic
yeah.
is, war, fentanyl, or whatever, until it hits a little bit closer to home, then we perk up sometimes.
Right.
Other than that, I think a lot of times we just are so focused on my life, my world's good, my family's okay. So yeah, I'm concerned about that issue, but I'm gonna kind of stay back.
And this one does hit because I have a friend whose cousin was killed by it, and so it does hit. Also, Joanne's fabric does hit. We started with fabric and ended
that
with
hits.
Fentanyl.
That hits. I believe they all hit.
Yeah.
I think that's to me that's what makes it important is that we are not no man is an island unto himself. Mm-hmm. What involves thee will no doubt have some effect on me.
Right.
So the war in Ukraine or Gaza affects me. The fentanyl problem affects me. AI, it affects all of us. I mean, mm-hmm. if you've got Siri, you've been using AI for 7 years.
Right.
Just these issues that are involved in our lives, which is why when we do the news, where we started, let's bring nice little bow tie. When we started this conversation about bias and prejudice and where you get your news from, it is incumbent upon a good free society to be well informed. And that's the baseline problem. All of these are complicated issues, and all four of us here have different opinions about all of them. And you're listening to this podcast, you have different opinions too. The key is not for agreement. The key is to be informed, mm-hmm. to know the actual things that are at stake. And if we can get to that place by sifting through, whether it's fentanyl, it's so quick and easy to turn into a border issue, like you pointed out. But it's not really a border issue. That's a symptom of a much bigger issue. Mm-hmm. Involved. It's complicated.
It is complicated.
Read something that takes more than 2 seconds to read the headline. Read a whole article. I've really fallen in love with long form journalism where you read someone who's done a deep dive on something and you get 10 pages, 10,000 words on one topic rather than the 15 second soundbite on the news.
That's going to make you mad.
Yeah. So anyway.
Don't be mad.
All right, you guys are one. Did we miss anything? I mean,
I had
in vitro fertilization on mine. I had Apple Music getting sued by the EU. I had the Panhandle fires and atmospheric rivers. I had all kinds of new stuff that we just did not get to.
Sorry, I hijacked y'all.
No, I think we hijacked ourselves.
We can pick up next season and check on all of those topics you mentioned and see where they're at.
I hope the Panhandle fires are out by then.
Gosh.
So we love you guys. Hope you've enjoyed this season. And we'll be back. Let's see. We're here. It's March the 6th. We're going to be back probably in summer. We'll probably record something else.
And actually, this technically won't be released as the last episode. We had already decided to bump one of the other ones. Right. So there's still one more after this. We're just recording this one last.
I think it was episode 5 when we finished. I just said that was the worst podcast we've ever done.
End right here if you want or go listen to that one.
We're going
to
put one at the end of it all. So love you guys. Be good.
Bye.
See ya.
Happy Easter.
Thanks so much for listening to Under the Water Tower, a podcast dedicated to honest discussion of the Bible. To donate to this ministry, just go to fmf.life/give. That's fmf.life/give. Just a reminder to subscribe to Under the Water Tower on Apple Podcast and Spotify. That way you'll never miss an episode. Help us to spread the word about our podcast by talking about it and sharing it on your social media. Thanks again for joining us. On behalf of Under the Water Tower, I'm Kelly Trepain.